Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the third hour and the final hour of the program for today. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. We've had a really powerful show today. Had Tim Dunnan from the Boston Herald talking about all the stories he's breaking over there, to include an update on the shooting at Brown University, which I think impacts all of us in some way. Most of us have some connection to that Ivy League college right down 195, right? Then we had Amy Cannavale here, from who's the chairperson of the Republican Party in Massachusetts. And she in part announced news that broke over the weekend, which is that Leo Choquette, Ward 1 City Council, a former officer of the Democrat Party, I think he was chair of the Ward 1 Democrat Party, has defected from the party. He left the Soviet Union, and he joined the Republican Party over the weekend. I have the screenshot from the Secretary of State where he switched to the Republican Party. So the Republicans are happy to welcome Leo Choquette as a Republican and a city councilor. And in part, he did it because of the Stalinist-like behavior of some of his fellow local Democrats. Later in the week, we'll get an opportunity with Leo. I know he's very busy. He works in the private sector, so he wasn't able to make it in today, but we'll get a chance with Leo Choquette. But again, Leo Choquette has defected from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party, the grand old party. And he still, of course, is the Ward 1 city council. So I know I speak for a lot of Republicans when I say we're happy to have Leo Choquette, Ward 1 city councilor, as a member of our party. Politics is about addition, not subtraction, right? Addition. Okay, kind of open phones this hour, if it's on your mind, whatever it is. There's a ton of news out there. I want to hear from you. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. So I have to ask you, I noticed you had that guy with the Tim Dunn on a couple of times. Is that going to be a regular thing on Mondays? Or?
Well, I'm going to have him on throughout the week. As news breaks, we'll get him in.
Oh, okay, great. So is he? What is his title? Is he like an investigative reporter? Or what is his?
I think he's the lead political reporter now for the Boston Herald.
Oh, that's great news. Great news. Sounds like last time I heard you had him on, it sounded like he wants to get his hands dirty and find out all this corruption and everything else that's going on. So that's great to hear.
He's a great guy. Too, he's a local guy. Grew up in Mattapoisett. Worked here at WBSM. He was our news director. Then he went down and was a writer at Fox News. Not on the air. He was a writer for the people who were on air. And then and then came up here to work for the Boston Herald. So we're really excited. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So local guys get into what we got going on in New Bedford too. That's great. And the other thing too, I have to take credit for Strong Arm and Leo, because I joked with him a couple of times saying, "When are you gonna come over to the good side and get out away from the dark side?" And I kind of joked with him this morning a little bit through text, but it's nice to hear that he's maybe opened his eyes. I don't know. We'll see where that goes. But just choking around with that. But Tim, so Chris. So I wanted to talk about, you know, with this shooting at Brown and you know the thing in Australia and all that. It's amazing to think that you have people. I was a lady, I guess, who was out. What was she out mid out in the West Coast mentioning about it's the guns. No, it's not the guns. It's the people. That you take the guns away from and disarm the citizens of any country or any, you know, of any country. How are you going to defend yourself? I mean, those police officers in Sydney, Australia, or whatever, whatever happened at that beach. You know, they were just frozen. They didn't know what to do. And then you have a regular everyday fruit vendor down there to tackle or grab the gun from the guy. I mean, it's absurd to see these things happening. And like Hank said, if these things are going to happen again and again over here, even though we have weapons, but they're going to pick these soft targets where it had no gun-free zone. And what sickens me about this, Chris, is that they they said they had a person of interest. They go wake this guy up. I guess he had an alibi after getting interrogated. You know what? And with a press conference, right? I'm sure. So, you know what? They need to do the same thing. I don't know if they did it yet, but, I mean, it's all over the news. They're finally saying, no, he's been released. But they need to get up in front of the podium with a microphone and say, apologize to this guy, and make sure the public knows that this he wasn't the fella, so he doesn't get harassed. Because remember what happened in, Atlanta with the bombing, the Olympic bombing?
Yes.
That guy went through hell with that. So I hope this guy either sues them or somebody needs to give this guy an apology. And until then, we still got somebody running around, pop one or two guns or whatever it was. I mean, how did he get in this building? I mean, he's supposed to have a badge or whatever to get in there. I mean, it sounds to me, and I said when they saw the video of this guy walking by in the black, whatever he had was wearing, they show that. And I saw the picture of the young kid. I said, that's not, I swear to you, Chris, I said, that's not the guy.
Yep.
And when I saw that yesterday, I said, that's not the guy. The way he's walking, I found him to be like a thin fella. That other guy looks a little bit more heavy set. I don't know if it's the jacket or, I just had a gut instinct it wasn't him. And sure enough, they come out, 12 hours later this morning telling, late last night saying it's not him. So, here we got a guy running around with probably two guns. How are they going to find this guy is going to be miraculous or something. Maybe why didn't they tap this guy's phone? The guy they're looking for. They said they used the FBI used to some kind of with the cell phones and all that. I'm quite perplexed that they didn't they haven't caught this guy or what their plans are. But they need to apologize to that kid. The gentleman there, and let the public know, the national public, CNN, and get them up. Because ironically, Chris, did you notice that CNN was there when they arrested him at the Coventry Holiday Inn? Did you notice that?
I did notice that. They seem to always
be there.
I mean,
it's amazing, right?
They always seem to be there when the FBI arrests a politically toxic person.
Well, and supposedly... like the other gentleman called, he kind of stole my thunder, but it's been reported by people, the kids that were there, that he was using some kind of religious thing, Allah Akbar, whatever it means and all that. But for him to be shouting that out and then you have a shooting, I mean, they need to look at that, but they don't want, maybe these people, the mayor, the governor and all that, I mean, you got a bunch of moonbats over there, they don't want to... tip over the apple cart, if you want to put it that way. You know what I mean? So I hope they, figure this out. We got to, as a society, we need to arm ourselves because
yes.
If it's going to keep happening, I hate to say it with all these soft targets that we do have, and I'm not going to mention it on the radio because some lunatic could be listening to me and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that,
I agree.
I'm just sickening by this, what's going on, Chris. And, I have a friend, I'm going to leave it at this, I have a friend that his son graduated from Brown University. I was going to get a hold of him and ask him if there's any cameras in that building. Has he ever been in that building? He actually goes to my church. If I do see him, I haven't seen him in a while, but I'm going to approach him, maybe let some time go by, and I can easily go by the house and ask some questions, but I'm not going to do that, as an alumni for himself, he's probably hurting himself too. So, but eventually hopefully I can have a conversation. I know the family, they used to watch my daughter for a long time when she was a baby. And, maybe I have a conversation with them, find out, some info about, do they have cameras? Cause I find it hard to believe a university that gets federal funding that you don't have cameras in all these buildings.
Right.
That's bullcucky, if you want to put it that way.
No, I agree. Thank you. Thank you, my friend, as always.
Yeah.
I do appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Look, I am skeptical that there aren't more cameras. I don't understand. Is that a function of the fact that you had all that anti-police stuff that was going on, particularly at the Ivy League colleges? Is that, are we reaping that now? And again, you don't really want to blame the victims. I know nobody's doing that yet, but meaning the university, but as this unfolds, there are questions, and people in leadership responsibility at Brown University, within the student government, within the city of Providence, in the state of Rhode Island, all of that. They have questions to answer. And then the other part is federal law enforcement clearly dropped the ball. I mean, if you saw that press conference, you had the Boston FBI agent stepped up to the microphone, chest puffed out, right? Proud of himself, saying, "This is your FBI today," and all of that stuff, after they had the guy in custody, who turns out to be the wrong guy. And by having the wrong guy in custody, they opened the city up, right? Mayor Smiley opened up the city after getting the news that they had the guy. Really can't blame Mayor Smiley for wanting to get his city open again, right? I mean, that's what you do. You close the city down as fast as you can, and you open it as fast as you can, provided the information is accurate. So I would imagine Mayor Smiley is sitting down with his bilingual chief of police and the attorney general and the governor and trying to figure this out. Trying to figure this out. I hope Kash Patel is paying close attention. I'm sure he is. I know he is. Major blunder. Major blunder. All right, I see you folks on hold. I do want to speak. It's open phones, guy. Guys, if it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Got plenty of time. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Why? This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Wants to tell me where to go, tell me what to do, tell me what to eat and how loud I can chew. She even wants to tell me what thoughts ought to think. It used to drive me crazy till it drove me to drink. It takes a whole lot of liquor to like her. That's why I drink all the time. It takes a whole lot of liquor to like her. But when I'm liquored up, I like her just fine.
Welcome back to the show. A little Paul Overstreet for you. It's kind of open phones. I'm Chris McCarthy. It's cold out there, very cold out there, but it's not too soon to get your car ready for the cold weather. Call Mac Auto Sales and Repair. They're located in New Bedford on Rivet Street. Mac Auto Sales is a family-owned business. They repair all makes and models of automobiles. So if you need to get your car winterized, and I'm sure you do, call Mac Auto Sales and Repair and make an appointment. The phone number, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5. You have a foreign car, that's perfect. Mac Auto Sales specializes in foreign cars just like yours. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars. Make sure you mention WBSM. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
Good, good. I was thinking about Australia, and I was thinking about whenever these type of attacks happen, I always, like, right in the back of my head immediately, I hear Ilhan Omar saying, "Something happened to somebody."
Yeah.
And, you know, a person that's clearly a heartless person, a person that clearly doesn't care about crime on this level and sort of endorses these type of shootings and these type of attacks. You know, father and son, Muslim, 15 dead, 40 injured. And then you hear, like, the same thing you hear in Australia almost sounds like we hear in Europe, like, or in the UK, or it's the same tone, which is politicians and the police, and it's surprising the police too, but you know, they want to, you know, let's not jump to conclusions. We don't want to upset communities. You know, let's, you know, and it sort of sounds like almost, like in New Bedford with, Mayor Mitchell, it's sort of like, you know, you're not hearing when there's a shooting, you don't hear anything. It's like, well, we're under investigation. Well, we're not asking you to tell you what, you know, every detail, but you know, give us some background on what happened. I mean, a gun went off. And, you know, I think that, like, this weird thing, Chris, that, like, there's no motive to take things to the next level. The motive is to keep things tamped down. And it's, you know, whether it's politicians like Mayor Mitchell or police, you know, chief or whatever. They don't want to like say, we need to take a more aggressive approach here. No, it's never that way at all. It's so the next one can happen. And, you know, what's going on in Poland and Norway and Hungary, they're deporting these people. They said, you know what? We don't fit well together. You have a political, you have a motivation. You're in a religious war with people. And, you know, you can do that somewhere else. You know, go to Northern Africa and do that. That's plenty of
Algeria.
Desert. You
can, go to Algeria or Tunisia or wherever.
Right. Right. I mean, if you can't live in this society, that was the whole basis behind immigration. You know, that was what Ellis Island was about, was to prevent people with disease from coming into the country. But if you have a political or a religious motivation to kill people, maybe you shouldn't be here for now.
Right.
You know, we want to live peacefully for the most part. And, you know, we want to cut our odds down. By the way, I found a really interesting fact. Do you know how many Somalis were in the United States around 1990?
No.
Less than 500. And it was only when, you know, the attacks in Somalia was going on, and the whole nine yards, and the same in Syria, that there was this global approach to taking in people, and without vetting people. And, you know, now, and with the Biden administration, made it even worse. But they're living through it in Europe right now. You have some countries that are actually just totally locked their borders down and are deporting people. England, you have people on the streets begging for Trump. Like, if we had a Trump here, we could get rid of this problem. You know, so I don't know. It's very sad.
Well, it's about a fundamental transformation of America.
Right.
By the Democrats.
Who said that? Democrats. Who said that first?
Obama.
Barack Obama.
Right. So, and thanks for the call, my friend. Thanks for the input and the contribution of the program. And again, as I said last week, when I first heard about bringing Somalians here, I thought it was about selecting better wines, to tell you the truth. It sounded a lot like sommeliers, the people who are in restaurants and cruise ships who help you select a beautiful bottle of wine. So, call me ignorant, right? Anyway, 508-996-0500. Right before the end of the hour, it was a great ad, a Christmas ad by Jesse St. Gelais from a cushion who's running for state representative. What a beautiful ad. And he had a really successful fundraising event last week. I was not there, as I said, due to my compromised immune system and my plan to get a new kidney. I have to avoid crowds, and that means wakes, funerals, certainly political fundraisers, things that I'm not required to be at. I wasn't there, but I did see pictures and heard a lot of good things. And Jesse St. Gelais, I think, will be a great addition as a Republican to the state delegation, right? Maybe even it out a little bit more, bring some family, common sense, businessman values to Beacon Hill, joining our delegation. Anyway, 508-996-0500. We've got kind of open phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Hey, what's happening?
Been quite a weekend, huh?
Yes, sir.
You say you were watching the press conferences and all that the other night coming from Providence. I was too. I was watching it on Channel 10, and I can't think of the guy's name, but he drove down from New Hampshire, an emergency in New Hampshire or Maine, to cover this. And he was the one asking the hard questions.
Dan Janik.
Yep. That's
Dan Janik was a reporter. Yes.
Yep. He's an older man. And, he was asking the necessary questions. Like, what the hell are you people doing? What do you know? Why aren't you telling us what you know? You know, I think this was a failure on the part of the not the men on the ground, but the leadership in law enforcement and at Brown University. For, you know, they kind of dropped the ball on this. You're right when you said they let the guy go. by closing it and then opening it up again before they even had the guy or the person. And I had to wonder, with how many people were in that classroom, how many people were in that building, and, you know, taking into account that pretty much everybody has a cell phone in their pocket with a camera on it these days, and nobody thought to hit record
on their phone
while they're...
When you're being fired at, that's a lot to ask, my friend. When you're being fired at to record, I mean, yeah. I can't record anything. But the idea that I'm going to concentrate on filming a guy when he's shooting at me, I don't think that's an acceptable
criticism. But even going so far as getting a description of the guy, I will applaud, I think it was the city of Providence that put out the directive to, or what do you call it, the rules of engagement or whatever, but they said run if you have to, but they also mentioned fight if you can. That was a very responsible thing. That goes with the ALICE training. You know, run if you have to. If you're incapable of fighting, run. Save yourself, but if you can fight, absolutely fight. So I would applaud them, whoever put that out, for taking that step, because that is the people that are there, the victims are the realistic first responders in those kind of situations. If they're right there, they're facing their attacker. So they are the ones that can respond immediately to a situation where police can really come in and pick up the pieces. So it's a sketchy thing. This is a good reason why schools should be doing ALICE training, just to practice the hypotheticals.
Sure.
Just to get that in people's minds. And you know what? I would rather go through the training and go through the apprehension of the training than to go into an actual situation completely blind, thinking that, oh, it could never happen. It could never happen.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think you train for situations that you hope never happen, but they might, and you're glad you've got the training when they do.
Right, and with the training, you're safe. You're safe, but just wrapping your brain around where are the exits.
Yes.
What can I hide behind? What can I put in front of that door? You know, just simple things like that. And in a safe environment, that's a healthy way of thinking. That's a healthy way to kind of put those ideas in your head. Not to be overly paranoid where you're going and where you are, but to just have that idea in your head.
Right. I mean, I
if
always
something
look.
Happens.
Yeah, I mean, today, right. Thanks for the call, my friend, and the contribution to the program. What I always do, again, now, I don't move like I used to. I move a lot slower, and I'm not as steady on my feet due to all my illnesses. So I always make note of where the exits are, stuff like that. I just always do. Maybe I did before, I don't know. But I wasn't in as many, like, big, you know, healthcare buildings, things like that. So I always make note of that. How much good it'll do me, I don't know. 508-996-05. It's open phones if it's on your mind. I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
There you go. Hello. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Brown University. I'll stop there. I think they got the cameras, but I think the parents that send the kids there, they don't want their kids on camera. Know what I mean?
Yes. That may be the case. That may be the case, and also it may be the students themselves that object to the cameras.
Yeah, because they don't want mommy and daddy knowing what they're doing. Like, I live in Dartmouth, right down the road from the college, UMass Dartmouth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a boiling pot. That college, because I walk around, not today because it's way too cold for me to go walk.
Yes.
You you never know now. Like, you can't look at somebody and say, hey, that's a colored dude, that's this, that, Swahili. You're racial profiling. But, hey, when I walk, I look at some of them, you wonder what's in that backpack. But I don't know if that's just showing my age. Like, you gotta watch people.
Right.
But the other caller that said, like, take the guns away. We live in America, the United States of America.
Yes.
Right to bear arms.
Yes.
And that's how I feel like that. Maybe other people, hey, take my gun away from me. I can always get one. You can always get one.
You at know, least for like now you can. About, but I think we're better off with more citizens having guns than less.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like I'm in an older generation, a little older than you. Mm-hmm. But everybody has guns.
Right, right. I was saying that, you know, last week sometime.
And they don't use them no more. They're wall hangers. They sit in a drawer. And it's like, I don't know about the government cracking down, because Healy, I'm not even going nowhere with that. Well, like, they protect themselves.
There's
nothing for the common person. Yeah, there's nothing for the common person, like the elderly people. And I don't know, I'm just mad on
that. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the contribution to the program, my friend. Yeah, look, I think that a gun in the hands of a responsible, trained person makes us all safer. It really does. Absolutely makes us all safer. You know, plumbing emergencies, they don't wait, and neither should you. At Bass Ready Rooter, they treat every call like it's their own home. It's a family-owned business that has been solving sewer and septic problems since 1974, earning the trust of thousands of families and plumbers with over 700 five-star reviews. Bass Ready Rooter, we may not be your first call, but we'll always be your last call. Visit BassReady.com. Write this down, BassReady.com. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hello. What's happening?
Well, a lot's happening, that's for sure. A lot has happened over the weekend. What a busy weekend, news-wise.
I mean,
it's kind of shocking, all the things that have happened. And for some reason, I feel that there might be a gold thread that ties them all together, but only time will tell. But, you know, guns, I agree with you. You know, we all need to force that our Second Amendment rights are upheld, and we all have the right to carry a weapon with us to protect ourselves and others. Because
yes,
when you see those kids at Brown University, sheltering in place, that is the most absurd, insane thing I've ever heard in my life. They're like sitting ducks.
Waiting to be harvested.
Yeah. Sitting there shivering, like shivering little puppies, waiting to be taken to the kill. I mean, it's absurd. If we all were carrying guns in a lot of these schools that are gun-free zones, why are all these shootings happening in schools? Because they're gun-free zones.
Right.
And how many kids need to die? How many people need to be murdered before these schools start putting in every single entryway, metal detectors, and having armed forces at their schools to protect their students? I mean, what the hell is going on? This is just such insanity. And it's not the guns. The problem is the lack of guns, the controls in this state. Like I spoke with one of your callers, Steve, and he lives in South Carolina now, and he really made me laugh because he said a local police officer told him that, you know, if anybody breaks into your house, so there's something mentally ill with them, because anyone in their right mind knows that if they break into a house in South Carolina, they don't ask first. They just shoot first and ask later.
Yep.
And that's the way it should be. Shoot first, ask later. They don't fool around in South Carolina. You know, there's no laws down there. You can carry, you know, weapons, and you can use them. And we need to adopt those same laws here in the Northeast. But no, we have mamby-pamby states like Massachusetts, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island and Maine is getting just as bad. Vermont is bad. And we're all like, you know, we're sitting ducks and we're allowing ourselves to be sitting ducks because we don't push the issues. So, you know, I'm bringing this out because next year is going to be a very, very, very important year.
Yes.
And we all need to support the candidates who are running as Republicans. And I am, when you said about Leo Choquette, I was doing a happy dance. I am so happy to hear that. That is such fabulous news. And we have such great candidates who are going to be running next year. And in my opinion, Jesse St. Gelais is one of them. Yes. I heard his ad, and he is just, you know, he is really a stellar human being. He's a young guy.
Yeah,
and
like
he's
him.
So on the ball. But, you know, remember all this next year when it's time to vote, when it's time to support these people. We need to get these people elected to save our state. Save our state and save your own butt, save your family's butt. It's imperative.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Thanks for the contribution. 508-996-0500. Look, Jesse St. Gelais is a stellar guy, but when I got sick, I didn't know him that well. But as a member of the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick, he reached out to me and said anything they could do and all of that stuff. And that stuck with me. And it's a thing I don't forget about a person. So anyway, 508-996-0500. You're on hold. Stay there. I will get to you. I do have to take a break. I'm Chris McCarthy. It's cold outside, as it should be. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Lucy's got a lipstick on a little too bright. Bobby's getting drunk and looking for a fight. Liquor on his breath, trouble on his mind. Well, Lucy's just a kid along for the ride. Got a six-pack of beer and a bottle of wine. Gotta be bad just to have.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. Guys, I have a prayer request. I'm a huge believer in prayer. You guys prayed me out of all kinds of trouble. We know that Sergeant Wolf down in the National Guard. He's now walking around in part because of prayers. Charlie Murphy, a selectman here in Fairhaven, friend of mine. Charlie Murphy's asking us to pray for his son-in-law who had back surgery and now needs another back surgery. I don't know his son-in-law's name, but I saw it posted on Facebook and I like Charlie quite a bit. So Charlie is going to ask for our prayers. So let's pray for Selectman Charlie Murphy's son-in-law to get better, to get better. By the way, Brian Walsh has been found guilty of first-degree murder. So he was maybe hoping for a second or to get acquitted. I don't know how, but Brian Walsh, first-degree murder. That's fresh off the press from Tim Weisberg, our news director and fellow talk show host here. All right, so let's go back to the phones. You have a number of people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris, good morning. It's Bob McConnell calling in.
Bob, the strongest man I know, just recently had surgery and was out that night socializing.
And what you just said about the power of prayer is certainly true. And I would just like to thank everybody that sent well wishes and prayers. I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer.
Yes.
Had a carotid artery surgery that was 95% blocked and just ready to have a stroke. But a miracle that they were able to do the procedure, and I feel so much better. So once again, thank you to all the well wishes and especially the prayers.
And Bob, you were out at Jesse St. Gelais' party, weren't you? How was it?
Jesse's event was great. There were so many great events at the Wamsutta Club over there. It's really a great place to join to have lunch or to host your events there. Very historic. I know I've heard you talk about it many times before in your history there as a youth. But the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick's had a Christmas party last Sunday. And then Jesse's event and Judge Michonne hosted his, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, his annual Christmas party Friday. I was going to ask them if they had rooms there. I was spending so much time there last week. But
they do have rooms there. I know guys who, for instance, would rent their house up here, and when they would come back in the summer, they would stay at the Wamsutta Club. Yeah, they do have rooms.
It's a lovely place, and I'd encourage anybody to attend any event they had the opportunity to there. Chris, there's only 9 shopping days left till Christmas, and I was just counting. Now there's only 16 days left for us to form the rest of the wards in New Bedford as Republican committees. So grateful to hear about Hank and Leo joining, and maybe Leo would join our newly formed Ward 1 committee up there in the North End. But it's really great news, and we really are getting a lot of momentum down here with a lot of candidates. Chester Tam had just announced a running for the 9th district in New Bedford, which is way up in North 1 and includes Dartmouth too. But we would like to mount a candidate to challenge every state rep that represents the city of New Bedford, which there are 5 of them.
Yeah, I think that's possible too. I think that there ought to be somebody to run against Tony Cabral in the South End. He's been there unchallenged for way too long.
We're ready to pull the trigger on Ward 5. If anybody wanted to contact me, rate at my cell phone number, 508-863-0416. We have a very capable woman who's willing to be chair down there, but Ward 5 does include the 13th Bristol District, which Representative Cabral has represented since 1993, I think, with limited opposition. And just having opposition makes either the incumbent or everybody else a better candidate and a better person. You have to. This life is full of challenge, and we need challenge all the time. So.
Challenge makes us better.
Right. What doesn't kill us makes us stronger,
and I
guarantee you it won't kill you, but...
It may feel like it sometimes, but...
It's not easy. It's a test of character, and once again, it builds character. So please call me if you're interested in joining a committee, and that would give you the opportunity to be a delegate for the April convention, which promises to be very exciting.
Thank you, Bob McConnell. As always, you do a great job, and I'm glad you're on the mend, my friend. Really strong guy. Yes, he has open heart surgery, and he's out socializing. That evening, the next day. The guy is a really strong guy. And again, he has the power of prayer, as all of us do that want to use it, right? Take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
When we pull out of your yard, I'm all day tired. You was laughing at me, I was doing James Dean. You was the prettiest girl I'd ever seen.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Chris McCarthy, you're the audience. We are coming to the conclusion here of the program. I know that Brian the Cabbie will be coming in for Barry Richard, who will not be here today. Barry does a great job. You know, the Cabbie, Brian does a great job too. It is almost Christmas, so hopefully you're thinking about that. We'll have the mayor with us on Wednesday. We'll have other people as well. We're also going to have this week Jose Matos to give us an update on these new Trump accounts for the children in your life, the future children of America. It's going to be an amazing, amazing new way to save money. So, because I'm not a financial expert by any means, I reached out to Jose Matos, who is a financial professional, to see if he could help us understand how these Trump accounts can make your children, your future children, future grandchildren's lives a whole lot better, right? So it's part of the big, beautiful bill that no Democrats voted for. Sadly, not even Bill Keating, who had an amazing, that bill has amazing ramifications in the positive way for his district. but he's voting with the squad and not with his district. Unfortunately, because I think Congressman Keating's a pretty bright guy, but he's captured now. Anyway, but a solid member of his staff, Chris Matthews. It's his birthday today. So if you see Chris Matthews from Bill Keating's staff, make sure you wish him a happy birthday. Make sure you wish him happy birthday. All right. So, guys, stick around. Hopefully by tomorrow, we'll have news on the capture of the terrorist attack on Brown University. But I don't know. I don't know. So, God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. I'm heading out today. I've got a busy schedule all week long, real busy schedule, and I'm sure you do as well. So I'll be avoiding crowds. Not avoiding you, but avoiding any sort of crowds. So it's because I want to give myself a fair shot at survival, right? God helps those who help themselves. All right. God bless you. See you tomorrow, God willing.